You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
CBS High in the World. I'm John Batchelor. New World Report. Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, speaking on the present threat and danger and mystery of Colombia, a country that we've watched very carefully this last year and more, thanks to Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal, who's a member of the legislature. The senator is unable to join us this week, but Colombia is much in the news, especially because the new foreign minister of Colombia visiting Washington, visiting Congress, and this change just happened within a matter of days. So I welcome Joseph to explain why the new foreign minister, who is the vice president, Ramirez, is in Washington, and what the relations are between Washington and Colombia. Joseph, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Colombia's Vice President Marta Lucha Ramirez, appointed as the Andean country's new Minister of Foreign Affairs by President Iván Duque within these last days. This is a surprise or not, and naming the first vice president as a foreign minister, is that unusual? What is the outreach here? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. This isn't a very important trip and a very important move by the Duque government. But first, let me give a little bit of context for the listeners on who the new foreign minister is, Marta Lucía Ramírez. She is someone that's had a long trajectory in government, even prior to the Duque government. In the Uribe administration, she served as the defense minister. She's also previously from that served as a trade minister. During the Duque government since 2018, she's been elected as the vice president and been serving as the vice president all throughout the Duque administration. A few weeks ago, right in the midst of the chaos and the protests, the now former foreign minister, Claudia Bloom, resigned. And it's not clear exactly why, but she resigned amidst the pressure. And Colombia went for a week or so without a foreign minister. Now, that's a very important vacancy in a crisis where a lot of the disinformation and the pressure is coming from abroad. And so they named Marta Lucía, who's the current vice president, as also the foreign minister. And I think is a very good choice because, as I mentioned, she has a long trajectory in government. She understands Colombia. She has a lot of connections in the international community. She speaks multiple languages, and she's a good ambassador for Colombia at this time. So her trip to Washington, D.C. this week is extremely important because, as we've witnessed in other situations similar to what's going on in Colombia, and I most notably point to Chile in 2019, there are certain phases that this conflict and this crisis kind of undergoes. The first was the violent phase. Now, we went through that. We saw that. That was the first couple weeks, where mass violence, mass vandalism, clashing between protesters and police. We went through that. Now they're in the negotiation phase, and the Duque government's currently negotiating with what they call the National Strike Committee, which are the basically the different unions and different groups that are representing the grievances of the protesters. And then that's usually accompanied by a phase of international pressure. That is just beginning. So the way that Colombia, the way that the foreign minister, Marta Lucía Ramírez, engages in the international community is going to determine whether this negotiation and pressure leads to concessions by the Duque government, which would be a mistake, and that's what led to Chile, or will end in a resolution, which is, I'm sure, what they're pushing for. So she's met with the State Department. She's met with the Organization of American States. I'm assuming she's meeting with the White House as well. But now I think today she's going to be meeting with the Congress. And a lot of the criticisms from the United States to the Duque government have come from the U.S. Congress, particularly the House of Representatives, and particularly members of the Democrat Party. So I think this trip is very important. Her message has to be on point, and she has to explain the other side of what's going on in Colombia, which hasn't been explained. Of course, there's legitimate grievances by protesters. There's a lot of social unrest. That's absolutely the case. But there's also been an attack by subversive groups, by disinformation that has been trying to weaken the state institutions and delegitimize the police. And so she has to explain that in a very accurate and strong manner before the authorities in the United States.
I want to go over what it is that the reason the vice president is here as the new foreign minister is the resignation of the previous foreign minister and this report from these last days. Colombia's foreign minister has resigned, Claudia Blum, amid international condemnation of excessive force used by law enforcers against civilians engaged in anti-government protests since April 28th. Claudia Blum, in a letter to the president signed on May 11th, made available by her office within these last days, did not specify the reasons for her departure. She did write, "I am sure that the country will continue on the path of sustainable development, social and economic recovery from the effects of the pandemic, and consolidation of the consensus that confirms the unity and strength of our nation." Joseph, the police are mentioned again and again in this reporting. Can you help us understand what is fresh here? What is new information? Because you will recall we reported on the protests in Bogota last year and in 2019 as well. And these protests have come and gone. Is there something that's happened different this time?
So there's a reality to some of the complaints of excessive uses of force that have to be investigated and have to be adjudicated. And then there's disinformation that surrounds a lot of that as well. According to the Colombian Foreign Ministry, there's almost 1,000 police officers that have been brutally injured by blunt objects, meaning by firearms, by fires, by knives, by metal canisters. So this is not just a one-way street. Now, obviously, there's a lot of civilians, too. There's probably equal number of civilians that have been injured as well. But I think the problem is there's only one side of that story that's being told to the international community. The human rights NGOs, which are working on the ground in Colombia, are doing a good job at documenting excessive abuses of force. And a lot of those complaints are going to the ombudsman in Colombia and are being investigated. Now, if they find that this is the case, I fully trust that the Duque government is going to deal with it quickly and adjudicate those cases and arrest or incarcerate police officers that might have abused their power. That said, that is a disproportionate number, meaning it's a small percentage of the amount of police officers actually trying to calm the riots down, trying to stop the vandalism, stop the violence. I mean, there was a tremendous amount of destruction of both public and private property, seeing of monuments, some of the same things we've seen here in the United States and some of the protests that turned into riots last year. So what part of this story is being told to the international community through these human rights NGOs? But part of the story is not being told. And that's, I think, what the purpose of the foreign minister's trip is to Washington, is to tell the other half of the story about how there's been policemen that have been burned alive, how there's been policemen that have been run over by vehicles, how there have been policemen that have been defaced and delegitimized by their own congressmen inside Colombia. So the disinformation is pretty big. And, you know, our report, John, that we talked about last week, that we did about Colombia, called Asymmetric Assault on Colombia. In our report at the center, we identified a foreign disinformation effort that's specifically targeting the Colombian police and trying to amplify false cases of Colombian police abuse. In this specific disinformation effort, there's more than 7,000 fake accounts, troll accounts, that are being used on social media to take a video out of context or to use a video from another protest in another country and present it as if it's police abuse currently in Colombia. This disinformation effort is brutal and it creates a lot of confusion. It sows social division. And that's one of the things that once the Colombian government can prove this, and they have, but we found these 7,000 accounts, but there's a big, much bigger effort that's being underway. And the Colombian police, along with their intelligence and security officials, have created a database that shows a lot of this disinformation. Some of it they're showing publicly, and I'm sure the foreign minister is not presenting that to the U.S. authorities so they could understand that they're only seeing half of the picture. And to see the full picture in Colombia is to understand that the police has been under attack for almost a month now as well.
The further background is the resignation of the finance minister, Alberto Carrasquilla, earlier this month. He was the author of the tax bill that is said to be a driver for the protests, increasing taxes during the pandemic. But I mentioned the pandemic as well. All of these things come together suddenly. Was President Duque, was his administration surprised that in raising taxes in a pandemic with people locked down and still waiting for a vaccine, this is a country that is very low vaccination rate and still negotiating for more vaccine to come. Was President Duque surprised by the protests, Joseph, in your understanding?
So I don't think they were surprised because, as we mentioned, they've seen this already happen at the end of 2019 before the pandemic. And some look at this as a continuation from those mass protests at the end of 2019 in Colombia. Now that the pandemic's been around for a little while. But I think that it's always hard to get ready for this level of violence and vandalism. And these are very intense. This is even worse than what we saw in the United States. And that was very, very violent and very destructive as well. But the social unrest that's taking place in Colombia is almost to be expected. It is to be expected because of the economic effect that the pandemic has had on its country. Colombia has seen a 6.8% decrease in its GDP. Its deficit has almost tripled to almost reaching 8% of its GDP. There's been almost 3 million more people that have been added to extreme poverty in the country. The level of unemployment's upwards of 14-15% in the country. Now, ironically, these numbers aren't the worst for the region. Argentina, Peru, some of Central America, Mexico are experiencing worse economic impacts. But because of the tensions and because of what we saw in 2019, I think Colombia is the first country that's experiencing this assault. So, no, I don't think they were surprised, but they definitely weren't ready. And especially with the disinformation, I think Colombia is now learning the hard lesson that it's not just about a question of good policies and having a TV show or having communications. You have to have a very strategic public diplomacy effort, a strategic public communications effort that's international. The Duque government's not going to be able to get out of this crisis alone. They're not going to just do it by themselves. They need to be speaking with their partners and allies around the world. And I think specifically in Latin America, besides the United States, I think the next biggest trip that the foreign minister needs to take, the Colombian foreign minister, is to Brazil. They need to shore up their alliance with the Bolsonaro government because the Bolsonaro government is going to face this same type of asymmetric assault. And so they can, A, tell the Bolsonaro government how they're dealing with it and how it's attacked them so the Bolsonaro government can get ready, so they can help the Bolsonaro government in that regard. But B, they can also take a country that's almost a third of Latin America, which is Brazil, and have a strong alliance in the face of common threats, which are threats that are internal to their country by political forces, but also external to their country by authoritarian actors such as Venezuela, Cuba, Russia, Iran, and all the rest that are trying to destabilize these democracies in the region. So the democracies in Latin America need to stand up to this. They need to bind together. And despite any differences that they may have, the government of President Bolsonaro and the government of President Iván Duque are allies in this effort.
Joseph Umar is the executive director of Secure Free Society. He's in North America with me, and we're observing the ongoing conflict in Colombia. However, the neighboring country of Venezuela contributes to this. And when we come back, the Venezuela border and the reports that we had recently from Senator Cabal that there's reason to believe there are hired provocateurs coming from Venezuela. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.